The days of paying off student loans while you're working your first job out of college appear to be gone. In fact, the days of paying off student loans within a decade or even two also appear to be gone. Today's students take on huge debt levels to afford college. State support for public universities dropped, requiring big hikes in tuition and fees, so even most state schools are not a bargain anymore. A couple of activist groups joined forces to publicize the issue in Southern Oregon in a report called Sentenced to Debt, The Hidden Costs of Unaffordable Education. The groups are Oregon Action and Alliance for a Just Society. Michelle Glass is the regional director for Oregon Action, and she is in the studio with us. Michelle, welcome back to the Jefferson Exchange.
Thanks, Jeff. Great to be with you.
And Celine Leclerc is with us as well. She is currently an SOU student, a senior, and also took part in the campaign. Welcome to you, Celine.
Thank you.
So give us some of the basic info about this. This is a survey, is essentially how you approach this. Is that right, Michelle?
That's correct. So this we were looking at this issue. We were really concerned about the national trends that, and some of the anecdotal stories we were hearing when we would go out to talk about other issues. Student debt kept coming up, whether we were talking about housing or jobs. And we started looking for local data and really couldn't find any. And so we really wanted to take a closer look and find out, how is this issue impacting families in our region?
And it's interesting to note, though, that you really had no particular database to work from at the beginning.
Well, I mean, we had the national data, and there was a little bit of state data, state-level data. But when you come down to a rural region and really want to understand what's going on and what the impacts are and whether they're the same or in some ways different, there just wasn't a lot available.
How did you reach out to the students to be able to find them, and which students were you dealing with here?
So we actually canvassed student housing last year, and so we had several students who are passionate about the issue who we recruited to do some internships, and so we designed the survey and went out and talked to folks on their front porches, and it was a really interesting experience. So in addition to the survey data, we actually were able to talk with a lot of these families and hear some of the backstory too.
So you got a fair amount of information in addition to just the basic raw numbers.
Yeah.
Celine Leclerc, tell us a little bit about your own experience with student debt. I mean, you're just a few months away from your graduation, it would appear. And where do you stand in terms of dollars in the hole already?
So I'm actually really lucky. I had parents who have been able to pay for my education all along the way. But over my work on the subject, again and again, was repeated stories of students who wouldn't be able to go through college without taking debt. And I sincerely believe that people who are as lucky as me, who can be supported by parents or a family member, that I shouldn't be the only person who can get an education. It really should be accessible to all sorts of students. I mean, as a nation, we have this belief that anyone can work hard and they can get themselves to where they want to be. But at this point, students can't do that with the heavy debt load that they have to take on.
So, granted, you when you were doing the survey, you were finding people sort of they were volunteers in a sense, weren't they? I guess what I'm getting at is I'm trying to get to the scientific nature of the survey or not.
Sure. So people could certainly refuse to take it, mm-hmm. And that's the case with any survey. Yeah. By and large, people were happy to talk about it. People were, in some cases, relieved to talk about it. And even the students we talked to who weren't in a really bad position were still thinking about the issue as it impacts the economy and the, workforce, the future workforce. We were having really robust conversations. Most people were open to the conversation.
I'm intrigued by that part of it, though, that you were talking about other issues, and it always, for a lot of people anyway, came back to the fact that they owed lots of student debt.
Absolutely. I mean, if you look at what drives our economy, if you try and imagine, the boomer generation not having any disposable income, not being able to make the investments they've been able to make in cars and homes, and not being able to go on vacation or go out to eat, what would that do to our economy, and how would that change what we were talking about? That's the reality that we're facing and that people are starting to see on the horizon or in their own pocketbooks, and it's frightening.
It is indeed. So what did you find out in the way of an average number? Do you have a figure among the people that you surveyed for how much they are in debt on average?
So our average, because we were not able to get into the dorms, we were talking more to the non-traditional students. So we're talking to students with families. And so those students had a higher average debt load than the state average at $43,750.
That's a lot of money, $43,750.
It's yes, it's very significant. And really, these are the families that we want to be able to access opportunity. We want folks who are either retooling for a new career or working. The other thing that's really interesting to note is 69% of our sample were working at least one job. A lot of these folks were working multiple jobs. And still having to take on debt. So the picture is you know, it's about wages, it's about debt load, it's about really opportunity and doors closing on multiple fronts for families.
We're talking about student debt and a little survey of it, not a little survey, a fairly large survey of it in Southern Oregon for students at Rogue Community College and Southern Oregon University. Michelle Glass is the Regional Director for Oregon Action. Celine Leclerc is a Southern Oregon University student and a campaign worker. You can join us on the exchange at 800-838-3760, by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. You mentioned that the figure you came up with at $43,750 is higher than the Oregon average. So there is a known average in Oregon. What is that number?
On average in Oregon, it's about $26,000. And so that's still significant. If you're starting out with a $26,000 debt load, we know that the available living wage jobs are, you know, really low for the amount of work, people seeking work. And so that's the other piece to the puzzle. I think if you take someone who has the same drive and innate skills as someone who graduated several decades before and who didn't have that high debt load, were able to step into a living wage, a family wage job, and accrue wealth over a lifetime and pay down that debt, they're in a much different position than that same person is going to be today, graduating with any of these numbers as a debt load and not being able to step into a living wage job. We're seeing people who are now getting their Social Security checks garnished because they weren't able to find jobs that allowed them to pay down that debt in their lifetime. So I think as we look at impact over a lifespan, we're seeing a lot of really concerning things. Wow. And it's not just, on families, on the individuals. There's some really interesting analysis from the Alliance for a Just Society where they looked at just 2013, and they saw that student debt payments resulted in $269 million in lost economic activity in Oregon. And they calculate that resulted in at least 2,220 lost jobs.
That's a lot of economic activity to lose. Let's go to the personal here with Celine Leclerc. I mean, was there ever a question for you of whether or not you would go to college? It certainly is made to sound like college is essential for getting anywhere in today's world of work.
It really is. And we're also told that as we go to school. As we go to high school, we start prepping for applying for universities and where we're going to go. But we don't really talk about how we're going to pay for it. I mean, in high school, there was a couple times where teachers would say, all right, we're going to sit down and we're going to talk about what different payment plans would look like. But they weren't really in depth, and they didn't really describe what that would mean. Once you get through school, what does that mean once you want to buy a home? Or what does that mean once you want to start a family? How is that going to affect the amount of money that you're going to be able to bring in to supply for your family? And also, what kind of jobs will you be able to get when you also have to pay off loans? Because that's a big choice. Can you work the same job that you wanted to work before when you know that you have to pay $900 a month on a student loan payment?
Have you ever sat down with your parents and had a serious discussion of what kind of impact it was having on them since they are able to pay for your college?
We have. We've sat down and talked about my mother has her own business, and a lot of that has been taking out of the business so that she can help support me while I'm a student. And as well as my father has had to support me as well as my older sister, and it was right in a row. And that has kept them from being able to develop my mother's business more. At one point, they had expanded, and they had to go back and take down the expansion that they had first done because they wanted to be able to make those payments and get me through to the end.
So they've certainly had to cut some corners to get you through school. Mm-hmm. When you talk to the students around you, though, and the people that you're going through school with, are they generally carrying some debt?
Definitely. Most of the students that I talked to were carrying large amounts of debt, and it was for many different reasons. So one student, she was able to get Pell Grants to fund her tuition, but because she was a single mother, she had to take loans out just to put her child in childcare. And then there was another student who was taking care of 5 children at the time, but then really needed the education to be able to move on from an unhealthy relationship and marriage that she had been in. And so she used those loans to get through, and it was also for childcare as well, to be able to get through college. And now she's going to be paying that debt off for almost the rest of her life that she sees. So
So I noticed that on the cover of the report, again called Sentence to Debt, The Hidden Costs of Unaffordable Education, you have pictures of people holding up the dollar amounts on whiteboards. And those are actually some interesting looking pictures, and the amounts are shocking in some cases. At least one of them I saw was up to $75,000.
Absolutely. And we see students who either have to, you know, work multiple jobs while they're in school and can't go full time, takes them longer to get through school. That can result in a higher debt load. Or if you want to go on for an advanced degree, that certainly carries a hefty price tag if you can't, if you don't have support from someone else to help pay for that tuition. And those are the types of skilled workers that we hear employers saying they need. And so we're really punishing people for pursuing those advanced degrees, becoming the skilled workforce that we need. So that's troubling as well.
Michelle Glass is the regional director at Oregon Action. Celine Leclerc is a Southern Oregon University student and a worker on the campaign, which led to the report Sentenced to Debt. You can join us at 800-838-3760 and jx@jeffnet.org. We'll continue talking about student debt in our Vents Day segment in just a few minutes. Here's Scott in Talent. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Hi, I know it's a complex problem, you know, of the rise in tuition costs, but I think one of the problems is that we're feeling the effects of a decades-long philosophy of the far right to defund all sorts of things that were formerly socialized. You know, for instance, just an analogous situation is that the conservatives want to get rid of Obamacare, but it doesn't seem like they really want to replace it with anything. They just don't like the idea of socializing something. I taught at the University of Wisconsin Montana about 15 years ago, and even at that time, the amount of support that the University of Montana was getting was below the legal limit to even call it a University of Montana. And many of the states in which I've lived over the years, including Wisconsin, Iowa, and some other states have become, Ohio, have become more and more conservative. And I think a lot of this problem is that this conservative philosophy has really tried to tear away at the socialization of education. And so I know it's not the entire problem, but I feel like that's part of it.
Right. Okay. Fair enough. Thanks for that, Scott. Appreciate that. In Oregon, of course, in California, both property tax reductions had a lot to do with this, Michelle Glass, at the reorganizing of state priorities and the budget.
Well, I think property taxes is a huge piece, and it's one that's certainly pointed to a lot. But there's a lot of other things, too. We have one of the lowest corporate tax rates in the nation. And so when you look at available revenue streams to fund things like higher education, we really have made some choices that, to subsidize corporations over education. And that puts us in a really tough spot, puts our legislators in a tough spot when it comes to funding a full budget.
When we, there are quite a few charts and graphs in the report, which again is called Sentence to Debt, The Hidden Cost of Unaffordable Education. One of them shows state support, which used to run, I think, somewhere around 70% in Oregon and was down to around 19%?
Yeah, so over the last decade alone, Oregon has cut state funding by nearly 40%. Enrollment has increased 23%. Tuition has gone up faster than inflation. And so we now see the student burden at 73% of funding higher education. And so if you're looking at a low-income student, first-generation student, that's really not a sustainable path forward for Oregon or for families.
Now, I noticed that the same week that your report came out, a report came out the same week showing Oregon leading all states in the percentage of increase in the last year in public support for higher education. Does that give you any particular hope?
It was great to see the legislature restore some funding cuts. Unfortunately, those cuts had been deep, and we're still not at a healthy funding level. Even with the $55 million dollar funding level, were less than the 2007-2009 school year. So we're not even quite caught up, much less making the kinds of robust investments we need to make if this is going to continue being, workforce ready, civic society education is a path forward for everyone that we say it is.
One of the things you don't measure, and I guess can't in this format, though, but Celine might be able to shed some light on, is when you were coming to college and you knew that your parents would be able to foot the bill for you, did you have other people you graduated from high school with who were saying, you know what, I'd like to go to college, but I just can't, not in this economic climate?
I did. I definitely did. And I had a lot of students that I went to high school with who ended up going to the community college that was in my hometown. And then from there, they had nowhere to go because it was the choice of taking out student debts or taking out student loans, being in debt, or sticking with the work that they could find that was minimum wage and that could keep them going by. And because taking that jump, it's a huge step to take. To take a step from going from being able to live off of minimum, like you can live off of it if you're a one student, you don't have a family, living in a fairly cheap area like my hometown was, they could live that way. But making the jump to moving to a whole new town, finding new work, part-time work that's flexible enough to go to school, and then also having to take out loans is a huge commitment to make, and it's a big decision to make that jump. And I know many students who would have definitely continued if they'd been able to make that happen, but it just wasn't accessible to them.
Now, for the ones who do make that jump, though, particularly where you're going at Southern Oregon University, Ashland can be an expensive town. I mean, is it greatly more expensive to rent off campus than it is to stay in the dorms, for example, or are the dorms pretty expensive too?
Dorms are very expensive. I would say that it was definitely cheaper for me. I was a transfer student. It was definitely cheaper for me to find living off campus, but even then it was still pretty expensive. But to look at the cost of dorms right now, I don't have the exact number, but it is really high. It's very high to have to stay in the dorms. And to take out loans just to pay for the dorms alone is a huge chunk. And it's just not sustainable for a lot of students.
Michelle Glass, do you carry some student loan debt yourself?
Absolutely. So my parents were kind of the typical American dream story. They came from poverty, and they were able to get an education at a time when it didn't carry the same level of debt load. They were able to pay off their student loans. My dad was able to get a living wage job, and they were able to do better than their parents and provide for my brother and I, but not enough to be able to afford college as well. And so I had faced that same choice. Do I stay in a dead-end job as a low-skilled, uneducated worker, or do I go on with my education and fulfill feel like is maybe a I wanted to do more, and that's what I chose to do, and that did result in student loan debt, and that I will be paying for the rest of my life.
What's your amount?
My amount is very high, and then I married a man who also had student loan debt, and that's a story that we're hearing a lot as well. So you fall in love with someone, you both have a student loan debt load. We may never be able to buy a home, but. So it's complex. It's a tricky thing.
Well, and it sounds like you're not going to give the figure, so I guess I'll give up on that. But there's deferred action in the economy there. You're not going to be able to buy a home. It probably affects other major purchases as well, because if
Absolutely.
You're devoting things that you would put installment debt onto while you're paying installment debt to college, you can't do that.
And there's income-based repayment plans. And what that really means for a lot of students who are working even decent, even above minimum wage jobs, especially here in Southern Oregon, it means that you're only paying on the interest. And so it really feels like a trap.
I notice a couple of stark figures, or figures that appear stark, standing side by side. And one is the percentage of people in this report who say that education should be available to all. It's very high, like above 90%, I think. And the percent who say that elected officials understand the student loan issue, and that's in the single digits.
Yes, 3% of people in our sample feel like elected officials understand this issue and are taking the necessary action to address it. And I think the first figure, is a value that we all share, right? Education should be available to everyone. You shouldn't have to come from a wealthy family to be able to access education and better yourself, to be able to serve your community and become a skilled worker.
Adam and Eugene sends an email. He says, I don't know if it's relevant, but the student debt load is approaching our individual portions of the national debt, which is also in the upper 40,000s. So that's a large number per household to be bearing for this. Let's talk in the couple minutes we have left about what you advocate for changing the trends. What are you talking about here that you'd like to see happen coming out of this report, Sentenced to Debt?
Well, I think, if we go back to looking at the different pieces of the problem, right, there's multiple solutions. There's no single silver bullet solution. Certainly, we need to fundamentally decide as a state, and I think we're looking to our state legislators on this, to value education as a public good and to commit to fully funding it and reinvesting in it. I think we're starting down a path. We're actually quite a ways down a path of privatization. We're seeing that not working. I think we need to reverse that trend. We need to fully fund that system. in order to do that, there may be, need to be some other changes. We may need to make sure that we stop subsidizing corporations in order to be able to fully invest in public education without making other cuts.
When you say subsidy, mean what do you mean?
I think we need to raise the corporate tax rate. I think it's time for us to reprioritize. It's hurting our economy. It's hurting our families. And I think that, you know, it's been great to be able to give huge tax breaks to corporations who can really don't need it, I think, in the same way that Oregon's economy is going to need it as we see this crisis worsen. And the final thing that we can do is raise wages. We have a chance to do that this year. If you're graduating with these debt loads and coming into jobs that pay $9.25, that's a no-go. And that means that you're not going to have any income at all to spend in the local economy, and you're not going to be buying that home. And that's going to have a huge impact on small businesses and on our economy as a whole. And I don't think we're going to be able to make that sustainable as a state. And that means tax revenues are going to go down, and it's going to just become a mess. I think we have a chance to act now before we reach that point. And so I think it's time for bold action now.
So I guess we'll be seeing some movement. There's a long list of bills and a short session of the legislature going on right now, but your concerns are among the ones that are being addressed.
Absolutely.
All right. Thanks for joining us. Michelle Glass is the regional director at Oregon Action. Celine Leclerc is a Southern Oregon University student and a worker on the campaign, which led to this report called Sentenced to Debt: The Hidden Costs of Unaffordable Education. A link to it is available at our website, jeffexchange.org.